just like these. When the right financial advice is essential, talk to a CPA. Visit 360taxes.org for information. Brought to you by the AICPA's Private Companies Practice Section.
It's a fish feast at Casino Queen. Fried or grilled, just $8.95. Head into Sevens every day during Lent and choose from delicious crispy fried Icelandic cod or succulent grilled tilapia with pineapple salsa. Each served with your choice of two sides, just $8.95. Come on into Sevens for everyday fish specials at the only employee-owned, locally-owned casino, Casino Queen, home of the loosest slots. See Queen's Club for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're known for our unheard-of low prices, but they just got even lower at Lumber Liquidators Big Laminate Flooring Sale. All Dream Home laminates are an incredible 20% off, and get 10% off other click floors, including pre-finished hardwood, hand scrape hardwood, and vinyl wood plank. If it clicks, you save up to 20%. But don't wait. These deals will not last. Plus, get special extended financing. Don't miss it. Big Laminate Flooring Sale is going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com or your local store before it's too late.
Hit the B Square.
The Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Dan and Ian are here with me, and Joe Hipperson steps in now, brought to you by the seven locally owned and operated Auric home centers. Like the one, for instance, in the Chesterfield Valley, where you can see all their wares. What they don't have in the store, they've got online at auric.com. And now let's hear it for Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes! Yes, yes, yes.
It's a very busy weekend in town, Joe.
Yeah, so I could really just say, yes, if you like St. Patrick's Day, there's tons to do.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's our club roundup for today?
Well, no. I'll still hit the shows.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just as far as parades and this and everything, all the Aaron Go Bra stuff. I mean, I don't want a single couple out, and then a mom-and-pop store's been waiting all year for their final big thing. And
I understand.
I leave them out, and I feel terrible about that.
All right, well, let's start with movies. And I guess there are really two big movies for this weekend. I know one of them because I went to see a preview of it the other night, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yes.
With Steve Carell. Let me just see if I can remember everybody who's in it. Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, Jim Carrey, James Gandolfini, Alan Arkin, and the yummy Olivia Wilde.
The yummy Olivia Wilde.
Did I leave anyone else?
No, I don't think. I've brought up Olivia Wilde before, and you guys have been scratching your heads. I keep saying, the girl from House. All right. I like that. No, yes, I would definitely agree on the yummy, because she is like an approachable Jolie. That's the best way for me to put Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, without the cutting and the tattoos.
Yeah, a poor man's Jolie, or a sane man's Jolie, something like that.
Perhaps.
Yeah, okay, so.
All right, so what did you think of The Incredible Burt Wonderstone? Last week I started with the dissing Oz, so let's start this week with what you thought of this one.
I thought this movie could and should have been cast just a little bit different. I did not like the idea going into this knowing that Steve Carell was playing the lead role, because when you're going to review a flick or check it out, you get a little like a half hour breakdown or a half, like a little paragraph,
Yeah.
Okay, am I wrong if I say that this would have been, in my mind, maybe 10 years ago perfect, maybe now not so much, a great Will Ferrell character?
Well, it's that kind of a movie at times, not entirely. I don't want to turn people off who don't like Will Ferrell to this movie, because I like this movie a lot. And I guess you could put him in this maybe 10 years ago, but I thought that Steve Carell was wonderful in the role.
I cannot think of a role that I would say Steve Carell just completely bombed or he made a huge mistake. He's done movies that a lot of people thought were flops, but there's something about Steve Carell that always shines through any character he's
absolutely
playing. And in this movie, he's the lead guy. He's a magician. If we need to really do it, fine. It's kind of like a Siegfried and Roy kind of routine that's lost its luster, because now you got street magicians where Jim Carrey's basically doing David Blaine and Chris Angel wrapped in the one.
Correct.
Okay. And they are basically on the outs. I mean, they're not really popular anymore, and they've got to reinvent their act or try and one-up everybody else out there. Maybe it's weird, but it's hard for me to say that I liked Steve Carell in the role, because he kept being Steve Carell to me. And when he tries to commit to a character, I have yet to see a character where he doesn't still show you, oh, yeah, it's me, Steve Carell, the guy from The Office, the guy who's really funny just being who I really am.
Hmm.
Does that make any sense?
I don't think he was himself in Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a very good point.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for. I was speaking about, you know, broader, huger things that he's done. You know, I mean, the Get Smart movie was a complete flop and a fiasco. Yeah. But I still enjoyed little moments where it was just Steve Carell.
He was good with Tina Fey in Date Night.
I thought so.
Yeah. He was good in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
And in all these movies you're bringing up, he's basically
it's a type.
Steve Carell.
Okay.
And in this movie, there are moments where, even though he's supposed to be a character that's really full of himself and he's supposed to be a guy who's really clueless into reality, he way too quickly becomes the real Steve Carell. And he does in this movie. He is the light shines on him. There's so many character transitions in this film that happen way too quickly.
Hmm.
I could not, like Olivia Wilde, the yummy Olivia Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
Goes from a nobody to something spectacular, and where was that? How did that happen?
Perhaps we don't understand what the time frame of the movie is, or the time span that goes by in the course of the movie. I don't know, but I will say that I like the script very much, and because I know people who do magic in Las Vegas and have done it for a long, long time, and have seen many of these people. I never got to see Siegfried and Roy before Roy was consumed by the tiger,
or whatever that was.
Almost.
It's a heck of an act.
Yeah, you can only do that one time. There's no curtain calls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Don't, whatever you do, not at the matinee. Save it for the evening. For the $90 ticket show. But I know some of the other people. I saw Lance Burton, who used to do one of those big illusion shows, and Penn and Teller, and there's a guy named Mac King who does a very funny comedy magic show in the afternoon. Both Penn and Teller and Mac keep it much more contemporary and change their acts. You don't go in there and say, oh, this is exactly what I saw them doing 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right, they freshen it up.
That was the case with Lance, and it certainly was the case with Siegfried and Roy. So when you have Carell and Buscemi as this act, yeah, I could relate to that because I've seen that sort of thing on stage many, many times. Now, here's the thing that's the revelation about this movie.
That Steve Buscemi doesn't look super creepy in every shot. That there, I'm sorry, but really, Steve Buscemi in this movie didn't look like Steve Buscemi.
He looks like Boardwalk Empire in a velour suit. It's the same thing.
There was a lot of powder. I'm just saying, a lot of powder on the face, man.
I like Buscemi, and he's a hell of an actor, and I can get past that. But here's what the revelation was in this movie, something I'd forgotten. Jim Carrey's funny. I forgot that. How long has it been since Jim Carrey was funny in a movie?
Be careful, because I think he's decent in almost anything. When he does the big sellout Popper Penguin movie for kids, I understand he's got to make a paycheck. But Fun with Dick and Jane? I thought that was a
terrible.
Funny movie. I thought that was funny.
I don't know the last movie I've seen him in. I mean, really? No, I can't even think of it.
It used to be every other week there was a new Jim Carrey movie.
I bet you saw him in Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman movie.
I did. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
But he wasn't wacky.
He wasn't funny,
He was being Andy Kaufman.
Right.
Not,
and it was very well, too.
He did it very well.
Andy Kaufman in that.
Absolutely.
The reason why I feel that you are saying Jim Carrey is funny is because, one, he's not in this movie that much.
Right. He's got a small part. But when I say I forgot that he was funny, I forgot that there was a liar, liar Jim Carrey. An Ace Ventura
very good
detective.
Movies.
Yes, a guy who's way over the top in his commitment to a character.
Yes.
And if it works, it's gold.
Absolutely. And in this one, he commits, and because it's in small doses, it works.
Yeah, if this had been a movie all about his street magician character, it would have been over within 10 minutes.
Yes.
Because this character, if you really think about it, during the, 15 to 20, whatever minutes we get of him, starts out as a real cool kind of guy. I mean, the guy's just, let's face it, it's all tongue-in-cheek, but he kind of goes from being a threat to just over-the-top silly, in my opinion, again, way too quick.
Exactly the way David Blaine did. You remember the first time you saw that that street magic special that David Blaine did, where he was walking up to people on the street and doing stuff?
Fascinating.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, because it's like a single camera, someone's holding like a video camera, and out of nowhere, this dude just stands there and he levitates like two inches off the ground.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh,
now,
you freak out.
As a magician friend pointed out to me, that show was edited. You didn't see the times people went, that wasn't good. Or the trick didn't work.
I can't
work.
Imagine a magician special would be edited.
But then he started out as that, and everybody was like, wow, this street magic guy is really good. And then he became the guy who was going to stand in a box or was going to be encased in ice.
Underwater. underground.
I'm going to hold my breath for a week and a half.
Up on a tower.
Yeah, standing on a tower. That was the best one. I'm going to stand on this tower for how long did he do it for?
Four or five days.
Maybe a week. I don't remember what. And then ABC was going to carry it live, the last hour of it. Gee, I wonder if he'll make it to the primetime special. Of course he will. Well, that's what exactly the path that Jim Carrey's character takes in this movie. I'm not spoiling anything because it's damn funny, and you'll see how funny it is when you see it, but that's exactly the arc that David Blaine took in real life.
No, and I think he does a very, very good job of it, and I think it's just, like we said, it's just enough of that kind of a character to where it doesn't get annoying, it doesn't get anything we're really bored with really quick.
Yep.
I found it to be very funny, but I just thought it could have been a little bit funnier. I know that sounds like a lame review, but what if I had to knock it down, I would say it's a 6 out of 10, okay? I would say that it's good. It's better than middle of the road. It is better than, Steve Carell, Dinner for Schmucks. I really wanted that movie to be hilarious. Mm-hmm. I really did.
Me too.
And it just really wasn't.
Right.
A movie like this makes up for that, but it just didn't, I just felt it should have been turned to 11. I felt it could have benefited from maybe a more mature script, maybe an R-rated film. Maybe a film that really pushes the envelope instead of what it does.
I liked it more than you did. I would give it a 7.5, maybe even an 8. I think 7.5
really?
out of 10. Also, Alan Arkin's in the movie, and to me, that puts a point on the board for any movie because I've noticed you've got
a real Alan Arkin.
I don't think I've ever disliked any movie that Alan Arkin's been in, or at least his performance in that movie. Going back to what to me is the funniest movie of all time, The In-Laws, with him and Peter Falk. And also,
I love that movie.
It's a classic. Should never have been remade. The remake with Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks.
Oh, God.
Huge mistake.
Yes.
But the original, funniest movie ever made.
I'm sorry about anything with Albert Brooks nowadays. The guy's got such a perm. It's like the Soul Glow commercial Coming to America. Every time I see Albert Brooks, you know what I'm talking about? He's got that Jerry Curl hair.
Just stop it. One person in this movie I thought was miscast. I know you felt that Carell was miscast.
You're going to say James Gandolfini?
Correct.
I thought he was funny.
I thought he was funny, but think of how much funnier that role would have been with John Goodman.
That would have been so cliche, though, okay? It's like if I told you right now, hey, they're going to remake Smokey and the Bandit. Immediately, I bet you John Goodman pops in your head for Buford T. Justice. Immediately, I bet you it would. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, he'd be good.
I know, but that's the problem. I think Kevin Gandolfini was good because...
Yeah. No, you're right.
Okay, I don't have to get the I'm right. I'm just saying, I think if I would have seen John Goodman in that role, I would have thought, well, yeah, of course they're going to get John Goodman to play that part.
That's
an easy thing.
Yeah.
That's my only opinion on that. I thought having Gandolfini was good because... There's something about anything he says that has an extra punch because of everything we've seen him do.
Yes.
So when he delivers in this movie, it has that extra punch that I really liked.
All right. Here's what I like about this. 2 weeks ago, we reviewed the Die Hard movie, Die Hard 4. I can't
five.
Even remember.
Five.
Five.
A good day to Die Hard.
Thank you very much. And we hated it and spent 15 minutes dissing the movie, and it went on to make $50 million.
Yep.
Last week, we spent 15 minutes on one movie, Oz the Great and Powerful, which we both hated with a passion, and it went on to make $80 million.
I almost screamed. I saw the gross, $80 million. I immediately emailed you. I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah. Although we both agree that word of mouth is probably going to kill it over the course of the next couple of weeks, but maybe not. We'll see. This movie, Incredible Burt Wonderstone, we both love. Now, watch it tank at the box office. Well, we don't love it. We like
I think
this movie.
We both agree that we both like it. This is not a movie that when it comes out on DVD that I'm buying. This is a movie that I won't avoid watching it again, but it's not the kind of movie I would buy. It's been a while since I've sat down and said, wow, man, Paul, I can't wait till this thing comes out. I think Skyfall was the last movie that I saw that I couldn't wait to buy. When Django Unchained comes out, I'm buying that thing at midnight if I can. So it's been a while since I've seen a movie that I just can't wait for it to drop on
DVD. Here's how I consider how much I like a movie. When it eventually comes around to cable.
Whether or not you choose that as one of your 200 options to watch.
And I'm flicking around one night and going past HBO and Showtime and all that, and it's on one of those channels. Will I watch it from that point forward? To me, that's a good movie I like. Okay. I mean, there are certain movies that are absolute you have to watch, is like Shawshank Redemption.
Right.
I come across that movie. Oh, well, we're not going out now. I got Shawshank. We're locked in for 90 minutes here.
What about the DVR? No, we must watch it live. live as it is aired.
Honey, we own that movie. Yeah, but it's on cable.
No, you'd never watch it if you recorded it as it came on. You'd never watch it later, but it's on now.
Exactly.
And
exactly. And I think Burt Wonderstone will be one of those movies that I will probably, if it's on, I'll watch it. Not that I won't leave the house if I have other things to do.
True.
But I would watch it. Now, let's talk about the other movie that opened up. Speaking of yummy ladies.
No, don't.
Halle Berry.
Really?
Is in...
Man.
No?
I've got no love for Halle Berry. Yeah. I just don't. Ever since Swordfish. And I'm not
wrong with Swordfish?
I'll tell you what's wrong with Swordfish.
Well, the movie sucks, but Halle Berry's scene's not bad.
I thought Swordfish was a really cool movie, and I'm sorry, but if I see two pancakes on the side of a road, I don't think they're attractive. And that's all I saw. I've gone back. I rewatched the movie less than a month ago.
I think you're looking at the wrong page on the breakfast menu, my friend.
I'm telling you, man, less than a month ago on Blu-ray, HD, 1080p, high def, right there in my face. And I was like, oh, God. It was just, first off, there's something in the middle of each pancake, and they weren't symmetrical. When it looks like a lizard that's looking one way and the other way, there's no hotness to that. You know what I'm talking about, right? The lizard eyes. I'm trying to say this without saying it.
You said it. What do you mean?
Yeah, you said it.
What are you trying to avoid saying after you've done the lizard eyes comment?
With all the money that they pumped into that film, don't you think somebody could have just tied some fishing wire to one of them and moved it just a bit so that they were even and looking straight at me? Instead, I got to get all cockeyed when I'm looking at
you. You didn't like her as Jinx in the Bond movie?
No,
in
no Bond girl. No Bond girl should ever say your mama. Okay, and she did because the bad guy's like, hey, "What's your name? Your mama." Okay, that lose. I mean, look, there was enough crazy black exploitation in *Live and Let Die*. It was already done. We did it. We don't need a your mama joke in a James Bond movie.
Okay,
and I'm sorry, the hair. I'm done with it. I mean, how long has she been doing the same thing that Beaker from The Muppets is doing with her hair? Have you noticed that? No, I'm serious. Go online and look at her introducing the trailer to her new film or something, and I swear to you, there is more length of hair going up than there is length of face going down.
Fine.
Nobody else could get away with that.
Here's where we're going to just agree to disagree. So tell us about the movie The Call, starring Halle Berry.
Okay. Halle Berry is a 911 operator. Nothing really big is going down. She's a veteran operator. That's how they refer to her. She's a veteran in the operator business. She basically answers phone calls, answers one from a girl who's screaming and crying, saying she's abducted. She's got a call from a girl. The bad guy who abducted the girl did not bother to check to see if she had a cell phone. Now, I would imagine a guy like you, Paul, would be in the movie theater like, okay, if you're going to be a bad guy and abduct somebody, make sure they have no way of communicating with the outside world. That would probably be the first thing. Mm-hmm. But since we're not bad guys, we don't really think like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's able to get a 911 call.
But I will say that when I see a movie, I'm willing to go along with whatever rules a movie sets up, as long as it then sticks to those rules.
And doesn't break them like 3/4 in just for the convenience of the ending they have to do.
Correct. If the girl has a cell phone, okay, she has a cell phone, but don't tell me an hour and a half in at the most critical part where they're tracking her and they're finding out her that all of a sudden now she doesn't have service. You know,
yes.
She went from 4 bars the whole way to that kind of connection.
And what's brilliant about what you just said, and that we didn't script any of this, is the reason I think that the cell phone exists is because there's a whole tagline of this movie about how she takes 911 calls all the time. They're always answered. But this one has made it personal because the bad guy figures out she's got a cell phone. He figures out who she's talking to now. It's a serious issue where Halle Berry has got to try and save a girl and save herself because she's in as much trouble as the girl is, even though she's not abducted because the bad guy wants her dead as much as the girl she's abducted. Then you get into some crazy Silence of the Lambs type stuff.
Really?
Okay, yeah. Deep, dark dungeon stuff. I'm not giving away anything to this movie except this is a movie that is not exactly difficult to watch. But if you were doing what I was doing the first time you saw Silence of the Lambs and Jodie Foster is downstairs, or the first images we get of that well and the girl in the bottom of the well.
Yeah, yeah.
The way you feel when you see that stuff.
You mean you're watching it through your fingers kind of thing?
Yeah. But not because you're afraid of the person jumping out. It's how realistic and disturbing the imagery is.
Oh, that's what happens in this movie?
That's why I'm saying it's realistic, disturbing imagery that you see this guy who happened to just try and kidnap the wrong girl, basically, just is a bit warped. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, not all the dogs bark.
Okay.
And this is a very powerful, R-rated, very tough-to-watch movie that you think right away it's an easy in. It's a paint-by-numbers. It's going to be, oh, they're going to save her. I mean, it goes in a wild twist and turn that you could never expect, so I'm not spoiling anything. Avoid a synopsis breakdown on this film. Avoid anybody spoiling it for you. Just watch it and realize, all right, we're going through the motions in the beginning, and then bang, once it starts, it's brilliant.
Okay.
This could have been a very cheesy Stallone movie.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
It could have been a very cheesy movie where he's, you know, he's the operator. Oh, they just made it personal. And then he rips out his headset and he grabs 20 guns and he tracks the guy down. This does not go the direction you anticipated going, and all the better for it. I give it an 8 out of 10. Wow. I'm dead serious when I say Silence of the Lambs creepy.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So that's, I mean, and I can't stand Halle Berry, but I was down. I mean, really. I was waiting for her to look at the bad guy and say, hey, yo mama, but it didn't happen. Yeah.
Any other movies you have to talk about this week?
Don't go see a movie called Spring Breakers, please.
I wasn't going to.
Starring James Oz Franco as a white rapper named Alien.
All right. Well, we need to know about that. Out of 10? No,
yes. Yes. Okay. If I could do negatives, I would.
Right. But before you get to the clubs, I have a DVD recommendation for you.
All right.
I missed this one when it came through the movie theaters, and I put it immediately on my Netflix queue, and it finally came in this week. I think you may have reviewed it before. It's The Sessions.
Oh, yeah. With
Helen Hunt.
Yes, yes.
And John...
You got me.
No, I can't remember the name of the guy. He was he co-starred with Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, and he was really good in that. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. The Sessions is a story about this guy played by this actor, John something, who's 38 years old, and... He's been living essentially...
John Hawks,
thank you. He's essentially been living his life in an iron lung because he contracted polio when he was a kid, and he needs the iron lung to keep him breathing. Now, this is a real story based on a real guy in 1990 who was 38 years old and felt like after all these years, his life was coming to the end. And before he died, he wanted to be able to have sex with a woman. And he had...
It's a very fair request.
He had people who were medical assistants who would stay at his house and take care of him and help him and all that sort of stuff. But he couldn't ask them to do that. So he finally ends up with a sex surrogate who is played by Helen Hunt, who explains to him on the very first session, look, I'm not a prostitute. Here's the difference. I'm here to help you for medical reasons, and we're only going to see each other 6 times maximum and no more. That's it. We're not going to have a relationship. There's not going to be anything else. I'm going to help you with this medical problem. And she proceeds to do that. And they develop a relationship that's not really a love relationship, but it's more than just a therapist-client relationship. And he is phenomenal. He has this kind of really reedy voice. It's funny because in Winter's Bone, he plays this really scary character. And in this, he's got this kind of reedy, very thin voice as he talks, and he does a phenomenal job for a guy who can't move. He can only move his head. He has sensation over his entire body, which is why he can have sex, but he can only move his head, can't move his hands or anything else. There's also a role played by William H. Macy as his priest. And this guy's very Catholic and goes to his priest as a spiritual advisor and says, what do you think about this? And now you've got the dilemma for the priest. You know, here's a guy who's in a horrible situation in his life. Can I really give him a pass on something that's mortal sin in the church? And I won't tell you what happens in those scenes, but William H. Macy's very good at it. But Helen Hunt is just phenomenal in her role as the sex surrogate. And I was surprised when I looked up her age to see that she's almost 50. She's 49 years old. When you see her in this movie, you're going to say, wow, is she in great shape? Because she is completely naked through most of the movie.
Really? And I recall when I brought up this movie when it was dropping on DVD that this is a movie that, if you boil it all down, is about a guy having sex sessions with a therapist.
Yes.
And it is not hot. That's the only way that I could really sum that up.
Correct.
And
there's no way you're going to go to this movie and get turned on.
Yeah. No, this is not a flick where the guy's like, oh, here it comes. No, not even close. It's very mechanical, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I will say that when Helen Hunt first took her clothes off, which she does just matter-of-factly, it's not like she does a striptease or anything. She takes off her dress, her bra, panties, that sort of thing. I did say to myself, wow.
Looks good.
What's the name of this movie?
It's called The Sessions.
Again, non,
it's more medical.
Yeah. Non-hot sex.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's the only way to put it. I mean, that should be the poster right there.
But, you know, and there's sexual language in there. You probably don't want your kids to be in the room while you're watching this movie. It's not a sexy movie in any way, as Joe is saying. But I thought it was really good. And I know John Hawkes has won a couple of awards. I don't know if Helen Hunt won any. She was nominated for an Academy Award.
For As Good as a Kiss, this. Right?
She won for As Good as a Kiss, but she was nominated for this. And I was very, very pleasantly surprised by this movie. How about you?
I thought it was a very long film. I had this unfortunate urge to just be like, oh, just get to it. Just get to the conflict of whether or not they're going to have a tearful goodbye. It was like it took forever for things to go down, and then when they did, and things started to get, I don't want to say steamy, I found it weird. I wanted there to be a little bit more of a romantic edge. I wanted there to be a bit more.
But that's exactly the point of the movie, which is that she's doing this as a clinical therapist.
And I couldn't help, the first time that they start doing what they're doing, I just wanted to say things, oh, you ice witch, you know what I mean? I wanted to look and just scream and be like, how could you be so cold, man, you know? Do you follow where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Also, remember what I said before about any movie with Alan Arkin?
Yes.
This has his son, Adam Arkin, in it. Instant extra half point from me.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So I recommend it. Okay, now let's get to the clubs.
All right, here we go. Let's go clubbing, Paul. Shows you might want to see tonight. Yes, They Might Be Giants are playing at the Pageant tonight. Bear Wire over at Pops. Aaron Cam and the One Drops over at 2720 Cherokee. Plaid to the Bone playing over at Old Rock House. Foxing at the Firebird. Sleeping Through Sunday playing at Fubar. Elevation, very cool tribute to U2. They're going to be playing at Lumiere Place tonight. Loud Outfit at the Gramophone. A Message from Martyrs is playing over at Cicero's. The Way Out Club has Blue Fruit Stacks on stage. Hathead Jones is playing at the Crack Fox. Soma Jet and the Triceratops will be over at Lemons. The Pretentious Bastards on stage at the Heavy Anchor. Behold, the Arctopus is playing at Blank Space. I have no idea what an octopus is, so please don't ask. I have no clue. Creative Pandemonium playing over at the Demo on Saturday, tomorrow night.
Octopus is a boat with eight legs. Can't believe you don't know that.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. Saturday, tomorrow night, Final Veil playing at Pops. Mint at 2720 Cherokee. Clockwork at the Firebird. Trust at Off-Broadway. The Deceased on stage at Fubar. The Chainsaw DuPont Blues Band will be playing at BB's Jazz Blues and Soups. The Velociraptors will be at the Heavy Anchor. The Quaaludes will be at the Way Out Club. The Busted String Band playing the Gramophone. The Skeksis are playing over at Schlafly Tap Room. Johnny Bitch is playing at Hammerstones. DJ Who is at Atomic Cowboy. The Britches are at the Demo. And the Black Bonnet Ballyhoos are playing Ye Ol' Haunt on Saturday night.
I got to say, some of these are great, great band names.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Every week you come in here, and I keep waiting to get to the little game we play where you give us five band names, and one of them is fake, and there is always something clever that you come up with in there. Some of these other bands are doing a great job of it.
No, I think we're really up in everybody's game. I really do.
Yeah.
And last but not least, our favorite little game. I got five shows here. One is fake. Let's break it down. Neitzel and Scarewolf, Saturday at 2720 Cherokee. The Jetliner Gypsies, Saturday at Lemons. Broken Neck, Friday at Pops. Intellectually Stunted Monkeys, Saturday at Fubar. And the Psychedelic Psychonauts, Friday at the Crack Fox.
What was that again?
The Psychedelic Psychonauts, Friday at the Crack Fox.
Well, Dan has gotten it right the last couple of weeks, so Ian, you get to go first.
All right, I'm going to go with Intellectually Stunted.
You mean the Intellectually Stunted Monkeys?
Yes,
Saturday
monkeys.
At Fubar?
Oh, yes, I was going to go there, but I'm not
going
to go there.
Too obvious. I'm going with Jetliner Gypsies.
Oh, man, I didn't write them all down. What do I have left?
You have Neitzel and Scarewolf, Broken Neck, and Psychedelic Psychonauts.
Oh, man, it's either Neitzel or I'm going to go Psychedelic Psychonauts or whatever that is.
All right. I think there's a bonus or there's something to going first because that's how Dan's been winning. And Ian has won today with the Intellectually Stunted Monkeys Saturday at FUBAR.
You know, I choose the simple ones like Jetliner Gypsies because I keep thinking to myself, we've been doing this week after week after week for months now. One day it's going to be the non-silly name. Yes. It's going to be something relatively simple.
Hey, there were a couple bands this week that were playing, man. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is going to be perfect. I'll do this for you. There's a band called Mint. They were playing at the Cherokee. A band called Trust is it off Broadway. Yeah. I was thinking, if I throw those to you guys, you have no idea what's going on.
I would have picked those.
I'm sure you would have. There was just too much great material I had to work with.
Of course, now that I've said that he'll do that, he'll do the double reverse psych out next week.
You don't know that. Next week, it'd be, at FUBAR. Frog. And over
Mint.
We've got Dog.
Maybe 5 1-word bands.
That all rhyme.
Ooh.
Oh, all right. So, local bands, hey, if you got some rhyming names, make it happen. I'm Joe Hipperson, Big 550 KTRS, hip on entertainment.
Joe is brought to you by the 7 locally owned and operated Auric Home Centers. You can also see what they offer online at their website, auric.com.
All right, we're going to see how traffic looks now. Here's Timothy Weiland.
It's not looking very well, Dan. We've got a lot of things going on right now. First, let's start with eastbound 64. Just before 270, you've got a stalled tractor trailer blocking the right lane. Traffic backed up approaching Mason. Further east, you've got an accident right at the Hanley overpass blocking the left center lane. Traffic was backing up approaching 170. Then it's slow from Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound to 64, you're slow Hampton through McCausland, Spady out through Maryville Center. They've cleared the accident from 141. You're slow again from, looks like, Clarkson out to the Iceplex, where you're really getting into some problems, and we're not out that far yet. They had Highway 4064 shut down at Prospect due to a vehicle crash there, and traffic was backing up between Winghaven and Highway N, so we're about 2 minutes away from that, but that's what was going on there. On westbound 70, things stack up from 270 to the Blanchette Bridge. Southbound 270, not that bad. It's all moving, but it's busy between 64 and Doherty Ferry. Once you get over the bridge in Illinois, the Poplar Street Bridge, eastbound 5570 slows 4th Street to Highway 64. And this traffic report brought to you by Sonic. Spicy and sweet team up to tackle your hunger. Grab an order of the new spicy jumbo popcorn chicken and sweet potato tots at Sonic today. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Ah, the surf, the sand, it's spring break. Hi, everyone. Victoria Babu here. And join me Saturday evening for my show, Smart Living. Expedia travel expert Sarah Gavin joins me live from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, with great travel tips. Plus, we're talking fitness, words of wisdom from a 76-year-old St. Louis woman who's dropped 50 pounds, and I'll consult a dog trainer on how to keep Fido fit. Plus, find out about the latest treatment that saved a woman with stage 4 colon cancer. Join me Saturday evening here on the Big 550.
Whoever came up with the saying, put your money where your mouth is, must have had some dental work done. Just a filling can cost over $100, and other procedures like crowns and root canals can cost you hundreds more. Without dental insurance, you could be putting a lot of money where your mouth is. Fortunately, you can get dental insurance for less than a dollar a day. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can cover over 300 procedures, everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. To have a free information kit mailed directly to you, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-300-0855. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose and never pay a deductible. Get coverage for less than a dollar a day and put less money where your mouth is. For your free information kit with all the details, call 1-800-300-0855. 1-800-300-0855.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-300-6122. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. but you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-300-6122. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-300-6122. That's 1-800-300-6122. 1-800-300-6122.
Are you taking pills for male enhancement? How much are you paying per pill? $18? More? If you're paying $18 per pill, you're getting taken to the cleaners. What if I said we had one for less than $2 per pill? Guaranteed to deliver real results. Skeptical? Before you pay even a penny per pill, to prove it works, we'll send you a full-size supply of Bravado absolutely risk-free. Call this toll-free number now. 1-800-955-2423. Bravado is one of the safest male enhancement pills available because each capsule contains natural ingredients that will safely increase your libido fast. It'll boost your confidence in the bedroom and even give your partner a more satisfying experience. To get a full-size supply of Bravado absolutely risk-free, call now. 1-800-955-2423. Stop paying for expensive male enhancement pills. Pick up the phone and get a full-size supply of Bravado risk-free. Call 1-800-955-2423. That's a 30-day risk-free trial at 1-800-955-2423.
Hi, this is Mike with Broadway Ford Truck Centers. We're Broadway Ford, and we sell not only commercial but personal vehicles, as far as everything from the Escape, the Edge, the Flex, all the way up to the large commercial trucks. And we sell new and used in all aspects of it. Well, we had a customer from Michigan call looking for a couple trucks, and nobody was able to find them for him. But I found them in Texas and got the guy to go down there and look at them, and he bought them, and we're delivering them back to Michigan for him. We do have courtesy service if you want to drop your car off and let us take you to work and then bring you back or whatever. We can help you with that. We also have a vehicle that, you know, if you need to borrow a car and go get your errands done and come back and get your car, then we have that available for you as well.
Broadway Ford Truck Centers, working hard to be the number one Ford dealership in St. Louis, whether personal or commercial. They're located on Broadway, just north of Soulard Market Park. For more, go to BroadwayTruck.com. That's BroadwayTruck.com. Spend your tax refund on state minimum coverage from Safe Auto to keep you legal and protect you in case of an accident. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe. Spend less.
Target Talk St. Louis every Sunday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. is presented by Metro Shooting Supplies in Belleville and Bridgeton. Join host Stephen King as he discusses the world of firearms from competitions to firearm safety.
It's March. Time for things to get green. But more importantly, it's time for the best college basketball teams of the country to face off in the annual Race to the Championship. It's March Madness on KTRS. From the conference tournaments to the big dance, the big sports show weeknights from 6 till 9 will bring you full coverage. Brought to you by Heartland Bank. Real life banking. Online at heartland-bank.com.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for following me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. We didn't have time to get to it in Joe Hipperson's movie segment here, but Ian has a documentary he wanted to mention.
Yes, we watched this the other night. I'm sure it's on Netflix, or we watched it on demand, I think, through our UVerse service. But I don't know. I think it was 2010, but it's called Craigslist Joe. And the executive producer is Zach Galifianakis, and it's a guy who decides to leave everything, his house, his all he has is a phone that has specific numbers that he can only call Craigslist on for 31 days. He's going to live housing, food, everything. And not only does he find a place to sleep and eat every day, but he finds a way to make it all the way across the country and back. Just on Craigslist.
Now, is he getting people to give him stuff for free?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Finding.
So it's not like he starts with, I have a dollar, and I'm going to turn it into whatever.
Most of the time, he would find, like, a free class or something that's going on, he'll either talk to people there, hey, do you have a place for me to crash or whatever? And apparently there's a whole section on Craigslist. It's just rides, finding rides somewhere. So somebody put an ad out that said, I'm driving to New Orleans, just looking to see if anybody wants to tag along.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd find rides with these different people.
Let's just stop right there talk about this. We'll get back to the movie in a second. Let's talk about that particular idea right there.
That's kind of scary.
You going to get in a car with somebody you don't know and go for a ride in New Orleans?
No.
Well, you get to almost vet them when you meet them, but you also have a camera crew along with you.
The documentarian with him.
Oh, yeah. He did.
He's not filming himself. He has a camera guy with him, so it's almost, I'm sure he was going to find somebody that's, and most of the people that he found rides with, mostly like hippie kind of people, and mm-hmm. They want to live back. And so I think
we got rid of all of our stuff too, man.
Yes. Mm. I think he knew he wasn't going to have a problem with anybody, but that's kind of what I thought too. It's like, boy, he's just going to get in the car with somebody, but he could tell, like the one guy had a 70s van that he was restoring or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think he could tell just by meeting them, but it was pretty
Sammy Johns.
Sammy Johns
had that.
Oh, van. The van?
It was a Chevy.
Yeah, what Sammy was Johns? That song? What was
Chevy the, Van it was by Sammy Johns. That's the reference I'm making here, but I'm the old guy on the show. So.
No, I
we're
didn't
the same age.
But it was pretty good. And the guy was good too. The guy that decided to do it, the subject.
So it's a real life. It's not, when I hear Zach Galifianakis, I think, oh, it's a put on. But this really happened?
Right. Yeah. No, this is a real guy. And I mean, he has like a filmmaker background. But he just decided to do this as a documentary.
I didn't know you could call Craigslist. I thought it was something you only could do online. Was he doing it online via his phone, essentially?
Yeah. Most of the time, I think even through most of the ads, they have like a number that's not. Well, I think you start the back and forth through email, and then you can get a phone number from
it. Okay, so he had a smartphone. It wasn't just like an old flip phone.
Right, yeah. No, he was looking at ads, too, on the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
No, it was very good.
What's it called again?
Craigslist Joe.
I want to go back to what Paul said, though, because you said there is a section on Craigslist where people will say, I'm going to New Orleans, I'm going to Florida, I just need someone to ride with me.
Yeah.
Or share the driving time or whatever.
Or share the gas expense nowadays.
Yeah, whatever. No camera crew, nothing. You call this guy, okay, I'll meet you here, and then, or I'll pick you up, and then we're going to head off to Florida.
Would you ever be either part of that transaction? Would you be the one who would offer to give somebody a ride, or on the other side, would you get in a car?
No, I'd be scared to death. I wouldn't.
Yeah, probably not. I probably wouldn't do that because I wouldn't need it. But there are some people that need something like that. And you have to get a phone number and certain. I mean, you can correspond with somebody long enough where they can give you enough information where you kind of make it.
You going to believe them?
Well, I don't know.
A killer can lie before now, he kills you.
Here's the ironic thing. We're talking about this, and I think Dan and I are thinking of it in terms of our kids, and we wouldn't want them to do that sort of thing.
Exactly.
I've got an 18-year-old daughter. Here's the thing. When I was in high school and college, I hitchhiked all the time.
Oh, we hitchhiked everywhere. We stuck our thumbs out and hitchhiked and everything. Now,
and I would pick people up. Hey, where are you going? I just need a ride up to the mall. Okay, yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yep, exactly. We did.
Yeah,
the same
it's called
thing.
Rideshare. I'm on it right now. St. Louis Rideshare on Craigslist.
Now,
somebody posted an ad today that said, "Running away forever. I'm out of this town and don't know where I'm headed. Come along with me. Must have your own money and sense of adventure. Include recent pics and information about
the more
yourself.
Money you have, the more of an adventure we'll have."
Yes.
But there's at least 10 things today. Just help me get home. I'm off to so-and-so, and I need a ride back to Florida.
I will tell
there's
you.
A whole community.
I will tell you that I did. My daughter's flying home for a spring break today. Right now, she's in the air. And I'm going to pick her up after the show. And she had to get to the airport. And the airport is a pretty expensive cab ride from her dorm. And I actually had said to her, well, why don't you see, there must be some, like there was always, when I was in college, a bulletin board, the ride share board.
Somebody going home this weekend too, right?
Yeah. Not that we're going to get a ride all the way home, but can you at least get a ride to the airport?
Right.
Would somebody give you a ride to see if somebody else is going? Share the cab with them. Maybe they have a car that can give you a lift, that sort of thing. No. Would never. I said it out loud to her, and then immediately wanted to take it back.
Yeah. What did she say? She said, "No, there's nothing like that."
I don't think there's something like that, because in her world, if it's not on Facebook, on her Facebook page,
she
doesn't
get a ride share on Craigslist.
That's how she would know about it. Bill Cleveland coming up next here on the Big 550 KTRS. Here's the interesting thing that you may not know. Tim Weiland, every day, goes out to the airport, asks pilots, hey, can you give me a lift so we can see what's going on the roads for traffic?
Really? That's a different guy every day.
I'm always bumming rides. I never worried about the hitchhiking when I was in college. I hopped freight trains back and forth to Cape, so.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that one.
Didn't have to worry about things.
Ladies and gentlemen, here with Traffic Now, Boxcar Willie.
Hobo Tim.
Hobo Tim.
All right.
You remember when they had those TV commercials for Boxcar Willie's albums?
The music,
And they used to advertise him as America's favorite hobo.
Yeah. And he looked like one with that torn jacket or, you know, that sports coat. It was all, it was icky.
When exactly was the vote? I missed getting to vote on America's favorite hobo. But I'll tell you right now, if Mark Burnett doesn't turn that into a reality show, he is missing out on big bucks. Tonight after Survivor, it's America's favorite hobo, starring Craigslist Joe.
Go ahead, Tim Weiland.
Hey, it's not a laughing matter if you're heading out on westbound 64. First of all, you've got that slowdown now from the Science Center through McCausland, Lindbergh out through Mason because of an earlier accident. But once you get out through Chesterfield or past the Boone Bridge, you're jammed up just before 94. Almost all the way out through Highway 70. They've only got the left lane open, but they do have flatbed trucks trying to clear the highway now. Might I suggest if you're going that far west and you're east of Highway 270, take 270 north to Page, take the Page extension. You're going to beat all this traffic. You're going to be in delays for a long part of the afternoon. On westbound 70, midway between Highway A and 64, you've got a stalled vehicle. The police have the left lane blocked, so now you're backed up approaching Highway A. We've got a report of an accident now, Highway 270 at Lindbergh in North County, and you're still slow on eastbound 270 from McDonald through New Florissant. This traffic report is brought to you by Sonic. Spicy and sweet team up to tackle your hunger. Grab an order of the new spicy jumbo popcorn chicken and sweet potato tots at Sonic today. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist and the All Boy Orchestra. Brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, happy Friday. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Bill, you're invited later on. Dan's having a big Ides of March party. We're going to, you know, today's the day we, you know, decorate the tree and trade gifts and all that sort of stuff. So come on over later.
Oh, bummer. I'm busy.
Oh, darn.
Bring your knife.
Otherwise, I'd be there.
Yeah.
Well, according to a new study, thrill seekers often live into their 90s. So would that be a lesson if you want to live a long life, pass on the old brand, and take up alligator wrestling? Hey, and it's happened again. We've got another Carnival cruise ship that's lost power, having power outages.
Unbelievable.
Bad news for Carnival, mainly because it exceeded its limit of free tows from AAA.
Yeah,
the latest ship to get in trouble is the Carnival Legend, or as CNN calls it, the Carnival Ratings Booster. Finally! Really sorry I can't make that party.
Yeah.
We are too.
I can tell.
Well, Senator Claire McCaskill is talking about the aggressive pat-down she got at the airport recently. She's not too happy about it. Not really sure what the big deal is. I'm sure it's the first time somebody's patted her down in 20 years.
Hey.
Send your complaint emails to the Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the official AM in the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KPRS.
If you don't like anything Bill said, please complain to 1380, the woman. It's 5 o'clock. This is KTRS St. Louis.